With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
This Toyota Care 250 DFS and Underdog Fantasy Picks edition of the NASCAR Gambling Podcast here on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head to Cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100X in NBA, MLB, NHL, college basketball, and more. Sign up today using promo code RACE. SGPN to get a 100% deposit match. We're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off of your first month and start making smarter bets today.
Drivers, start your engine!
Strap in and pull those belts up tight as the Sports Gambling Podcast Network presents the NASCAR Gambling Podcast.
I'll wreck my mom to win a championship. I'll wreck your mom to win a championship.
With all the news and the best bets for your NASCAR weekend.
It refrains me from not beating the shit out of you right now because you ask me stupid questions. But since I'm on probation, I suppose that that's improper to say as well. If you could talk about racing things, we could talk about racing things.
Now, here are your hosts, Rod Villagomez and Cody Zeeb.
Any day we get a chance to talk racing things is a good day. It is the NASCAR Gambling Podcast here on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. He's Cody Zeeb. I'm Rod Villagomez, and today we tackle the tough, okay, it's not really tough, but it's fun, DFS and underdog picks for the Xfinity race. Because, again, Cody, as we know, only Xfinity and Cup taking the track in Richmond this week, which means we could dedicate an entire episode to underdog and DFS for the Xfinity series. And Nick Fortune's already in the chat, ready to go. LFG, go! That's correct, my friend. Let's go.
He doesn't know what the G stands for in LFG, but that's okay.
I don't either.
Just kidding. Just kidding, Nick. It's an Iowa thing. It's okay. Man, I'm excited. Yes, we had a lot of fun doing this with the truck series a couple of weeks ago when the Xfinity series was off, right? Got to focus on just the truck series for Xfinity and DFS. I like having, of course, I miss having a truck series pick show this week because I wish we had that. But if the trucks are going to be off, there's plenty of weeks where we only have the two series. So, yeah, it's a great way to fill up this show and put a little more focus, even more focus on the Xfinity series, which, man, again, if you've been only in the Cup series previously, like trucks, Xfinity, you should be watching. You should be betting, especially betting. We seem to do better betting those series than the Cup series most of the time. And DFS, underdog, a lot of fun for these series as well.
Yeah, we don't really get to shine the spotlight very much on the Xfinity or Truck series for DFS. I don't think when we first started the show and we first started the DFS episode, we thought, you know, obviously Cup would be the main drive behind those because that's what's the most popular. But I feel like we've really just scratched the surface with Xfinity and trucks and DFS, you know?
A lot of things changed over, this is our third season, Rod. I mean, shit, when we first started, we had one show a week and we only talked about the Cup series and look where we're at now, right? But these things keep growing. And I mean, you know, the Cup series has been up, not Daytona 500 because of the rain delay, but every race since the ratings have been up. I think Xfinity was up like 10% this past week. I beat out the IndyCar race. I know it wasn't a points race, but that's of note, right? And so, yeah, these series are continuing to grow, and people are realizing, like, You get some really good racing, and they're a lot of fun to watch. So I love it.
Yep. And this show, obviously, you are listening to it, so you enjoy listening to it. But I tell you what, there are tons of other shows on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network that are just as good. I'm not going to say better because I'm biased. I love this show, and I love how good
that F1's all right. Those guys are pretty good.
Yeah, well, those guys don't have British accents. We've been told that that's not a good thing. So that's on us. But obviously, and if you're not listening to the F1 Gambling Podcast, I encourage you to do so because, again, it's just another offset of this motorsports division that we got going on. But, of course, we are spotlighting shows throughout the course of the next couple of months because the SGPN network is, LFG Go, the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is just a fantastic treasure trove of free content. You definitely want to check it out. We're spotlighting the Mothership, the Sports Gambling Podcast proper that's hosted by Ryan Real Money Kramer and Sean Stacking the Money Green. They are definitely two of the titans in this industry because, let's just face it, two guys in a garage started the show, and it has blossomed into this entire thing that envelops all of what we're doing right now. So, and not to mention, they started picking against the spread the entire NCAA tournament. They've been doing that since 2012. 12 years strong. All the games, all against the spread. It is a monstrosity of a task, and they've been doing it. So make sure you check that out. And, of course, the College Basketball Experience, Colby Dant, a.k.a. Pick Dundee. That's not a pick. This is a pick. And Ryan Moneyline Mac. And, of course, the producer, Noah B. over there, continuing their unmatched coverage of college basketball betting. You want to subscribe, do it today. The Sports Gambling Podcast and the College Basketball Experience, wherever you get your podcasts. Again, Cody, we're going short track racing for the Xfinity Series. This is the Richmond Raceway. It is 0.725 miles around. And for this one, they're getting 250 laps around this track. So as we start to talk about the just overall strategy of the DFS, not as many laps as the Cup guys are doing, but still lap leaders on this one. Enough. Yeah, exactly, to get you some points.
Yeah, you're going to need lap leaders. 250 laps is a lot of laps, of course. And fastest laps can be spread around a little more at Richmond because of tire strategy and stuff. But in general, your leader is going to rack up a lot of those. So you're going to need to find the person who's going to lead this race, which we're going to talk about in a few minutes, Rod. But it's definitely going to be important. Obviously, your place differential will make a difference like it always does, especially with your cheaper options. And then finishing position important as well. But, after, again, shifting the mindset from last week on a road course where laps led, much less significant, right? They're nice, and finishing position and place differential was much bigger because of the lesser laps. Now you come here where there's a lot of laps to lead. You're going to need to hit that one guy or those two guys who lead a lot of laps. And that's going to be one of the most important things this week in DFS.
And what's crazy is that you think about it, you know, a normal short track, about a half mile, right? I mean, that's kind of what you think of when you think of the Bristols of the world and those types. But this is, you know, Richmond, this is 3/4 of a mile. It's funny how much that quarter of a mile actually makes a difference in how, I don't want to say strung out, but how many laps somebody can lead on a track like this. Because, you know, you don't see it necessarily all that often in some short tracks because there's not a lot of separation that you can gain. But on a track like Richmond, it's a little different.
Yeah, it is a short track, but it can get sort of spread out. And Richmond in general, I'm going to say in general because we've seen some crazy things, right? Like a Bristol a couple weeks ago. But in general, Richmond tends to be cleaner races, less accidents, and not going to be like we're going to see at Martinsville next week where there's, you know, the real short track beating and banging. So it does get to where it's going to kind of get one guy's going to lead a lot of laps. Or two guys are going to lead a lot of laps. So you're going to have to nail those guys this weekend, obviously with playing the rest of your lineup right as well.
It's close quarters, but it's not cramped, I guess is really what it all comes up. I like that. Triable Life, love this show too. We love you, Nick Fortune. Yes. Well, he started out by saying he still likes dirt track racing over NASCAR, just his opinion, but he loves cashing tickets with us. So,
hey, you know? I love dirt track racing. I love NASCAR. I love IndyCar. I love F1. I love racing matchbox cars down the hallway with my daughter. You can love all kinds of racing just as much and betting on it, playing DFS and fantasy makes it even more fun, Rod.
I love motocross too. I've been getting to watch that. I'm not into it nearly as heavy, obviously.
I need to watch that. I'm not really. Oh. I've never been into the motorcycle thing.
I wasn't either until all of a sudden I started to realize, wow, these guys really are taking, I mean, they're literally leaning on their knees as they're going. It's like,
cool. Those guys got some, I don't know how they keep their balls on the motorcycle half the time, but they got some big ones.
You know, I was about to say, they're weighted, man. They are just steel balls sitting on that seat. So
oof, that shit's scary.
Yeah, I'm not ready for that kind of life, but I enjoy watching it. So, and maybe just maybe, you know, at some point in life, we can start to throw up some motocross bets up on Cut. Let's tell you about Cut. It's a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Cody thought I was going to say we were going to put a motocross gambling podcast on the channel. Look, the bosses barely let us have F1 and IndyCar. You think they're going to let us have motocross? No, sir. But we can jump on Cut and put up all the motocross bets we want if that is what you are into. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and better way to bet directly against your friends or other users on not just sports, but politics, pop culture, motocross, and any other event so long as it's got a verifiable outcome. Look, I tell you, I watch Survivor, and I feel like I want to start making bets on Survivor. So if there's any Survivor fans out there, this last episode makes me really want to start putting Cut bets on who's going to get voted out, because I had no clue who was going to get voted out last night. And I want someone else to get in on that action with me. So let's get on Cut. Cut offers the lowest VIG, fully customizable odds. That means I can create my own Survivor bets, and you can too, or any other bet for that matter. Cut handles the payment side of things, so you never got to chase anybody down ever again for their money or your money when you win it. Social features include group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, fan groups, and so much more, including rewards. Get cash back every single time you bet against your friends or other users, or go head-to-head with Cody. He's got some winning bets out there, some season-long bets out there. Just find them all in the racing tab under Cut. So download Cut today in the App Store or over at cut.com. That's K-U-T-T. Use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We are also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Hang tight. We're going to give you all kinds of Underdog Fantasy plays for this Xfinity slate, and you're going to be able to build your own winning lineup on that one. All you got to do is pick better than or worse than the projected finishing position for each driver, or higher or lower than the projected stat of a player from football. Baseball just started today. Happy baseball opening day if you celebrate. And of course, if you find those spicy little chilies, you could earn up to 100x on your entry. So build. You can build across sports. You can build across all kinds of things. I'm telling you right now, just get in there. It's better for you to find out yourself than it is for me to sit there and explain it to you. So I won't take up any more time. Get over there. Download Cut or download Underdog. Sign up today with the promo code RACESGPN. Get your first deposit double up to $100 as well as an instant pick-up special. Visit UnderdogFantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our promo code RACESGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as an instant pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Rod, there's a game in the 13th inning. Or not the 13th inning. The third inning. 16-1. Diamondbacks are putting it on the Rockies early on in the season.
Are they in Colorado?
Crazy. God, you would hope so, right? I have no idea.
Would think so, because 13 runs in Colorado seems a little more.
That's a lot. Also sweating out, I have Iowa State money line over on Cut against Myrito. That's a pretty solid name there. Iowa State's not doing so great right now. So if they could maybe make a comeback so I can cash that cut bet and put more money down on Noah Gragson over Ryan Preece uncut this weekend, that'd be great.
You know, they say that the brain takes about 15 minutes to shift gears into whatever. They don't ever account for a podcaster in the middle of an ad read. That's not – there's no way to shift gears that quickly. So I need the sequential shifter is what I need. speaking of sequential shifters, Xfinity does not have them. Therefore, they will be old school manhandling it around. Lots of shifts on this particular track, so lots of movement. But Cody, let's start this DFS card, shall we? Let's start building up these lineups for folks. Where are we going? Normally, so what we'll do, obviously, if this may be your first time, we'll give you a high price, a mid tier, and a low price driver to build. You don't have to use, I mean, granted, sometimes you can use all the drivers we give you because we give you six. You just pick and choose. If you want one, you can use one. If you want all six, you can use all six if they fit. Yesterday we found out we can finally make a card that doesn't fit. So, that's all we're at. But, yeah, well, so we give you a high price driver first. And, Cody, I believe that's where we'll begin.
Let's begin there, Rod. Honorable mention, Chandler Smith, $10,800. You have got to play him. He is going to lead a shit ton of race laps this weekend. He's going to dominate this race. He's also going to win this race. Go back and listen to the betting show yesterday if you would like more details on that. I didn't want to harp on him again because I talked him up so much yesterday, but he is a lock in my lineup. I don't care where he starts. I don't care what he looks like. I'm playing a lot of Chandler Smith this weekend, and there's, unless he is suddenly not in a Joe Gibbs racing car again or suddenly out this weekend, there's no way he's getting taken out of my lineup. So I want to start with that, Rod, but I want to highlight somebody else up here. I think that we'll talk about this as we get into the lower price drivers in a little bit. A little bit harder to save money in Xfinity this week. There is a lot of plug your nose if you're going to take these guys options at the bottom. So near the top of this, after you plug in Chandler Smith at $10,800, I think you need to save a little bit of money. So I'm going to go to the lower end of the higher end of drivers. The lower end of the higher end. Riley Herbst, 9,200, Rod. He's a guy that I love this weekend and most weekends, right? We talk about Riley Herbst a lot, but he's been very impressive. He's been very impressive on this type of track. You go back last season, he had a fourth-place finish at Phoenix, a fourth-place finish at Martinsville. He had a top-five finish here last year. You go back in 2022, third place at Martinsville, seventh at Phoenix, fifth place here. You go back in 2021, fifth place here again. Good, strong, solid runs by Riley Herbst. Again, Bob Pockers had tweeted out that stat earlier this week. Nobody's actually run more laps in the top five than Riley Herbst has. I know you don't get DFS points for that, but Rod, if you're running in the top five, it's a good chance you're maybe collecting some fast lap points, a chance you're leading some laps as well, getting good finishes, getting place differential. At only 9,200, when you've got, you know, all guys at the top of the board at 11,000, and then it's Smith at 10,800. You know, his Herbst teammate Custer 10,500. Some really pricey drivers up there. Again, this is a good way to dip down to the lower end of the top tier with Riley Herbst and get a guy who has upside. He can go out there and lead a ton of laps. We've seen it from him before. Again, as he's continued to kind of come out of his shell and improve, Riley Herbst is a guy that I'm targeting most weekends, but I am definitely looking at him this weekend. He's been good on this style of track and in this type. So, yeah, love some Riley Herbst at only 9,200.
Yeah, Riley Herbst, I think I had him in the betting episode, too. I talked about him, I think, in a top five capacity. So that was either me or you. I don't remember well.
I think I had a group bet on him.
Yes.
And maybe you had a top five, too. I can't remember. But there was we had to find a way to bet on him because he's – been good here.
I just had a birthday, and I guarantee you, I am old, and I don't remember anything. Like, I forget where I'm at in the middle of an ad read. So you're lucky.
Rod passed that number where we don't expect him to remember things anymore. No, so no. It's okay.
You say, "Okay, Grandpa, it's time for bed," and I say, "You're right."
All right, Rod. Now it's your turn to give out a pick. If you would look at the sheet in front of you, and give out the first name that you see there.
I was so. Rod Villagomez. Oh no, I'm sorry. That's the host name.
Jesus. Not that first name.
God bless it. All right, fine. Yeah, listen. So I love your pick, but I love Love, and I love Love this week too. Jesse Love, to be exact. $9,400, and for a guy that really has zero experience in the Xfinity series, in this particular track, that's probably you're thinking to yourself, how on God's green earth is this dude with five starts this season to his name in the Xfinity series that much money? Well, I'll tell you right now, he is averaging 40.1 fantasy points per race, which is good enough for fourth best in the entire field. 46 last week, 48 the week before, 27 the week before that, 64 in Atlanta, where he led 157 laps. Man, I'm telling you right now. So Jesse Love is steady, and he's steady in producing this season. Very, very just came on the scene, driving the two car way better than the previous driver of the two car consistently did. I mean, you know, Sheldon Creed did what he did sometimes, but I'm just saying it just feels more consistent for Jesse Love. So you want to talk about a guy that with the that potential leader, right? 157 laps. I understand that it was a, you know, a different race and a different track, but the dude can run up front because he has just done it all season long, and he's going to continue to do so. Finishes of second and sixth in the last couple of races for him at Phoenix and at COTA. Started on the pole, right, in Daytona and Atlanta. Vegas was probably the only race that kind of brought him back down to earth, right? It was a 17th place finish there. So kind of knocked him down a little bit. But at Phoenix, again, he did mile track there, picked himself back up. Now, what's really eye-turning about Jesse Love in the Arca Menard series, which is where he cut his teeth, 22 short track starts in his career. Cody, I want you to guess, how many top 10 finishes do you think he had in those 22 starts?
I want to say like 17.
You're wrong. It's 20. He only missed the top 10 twice.
Damn it.
See, he had 16 top fives, so pretty damn close.
Pretty good.
And four wins on a short track. You look at even Toledo, all three races that he finished in Toledo, which is another short track. He finished in the not just top five, but well, okay, two of them he finished second place. Started on the pole in both of them, led 192 laps, 89 laps, finished second in both of those races. Fourth place the time before that. Look, the guy knows how to get around these tracks. So I think that the kind of car that he's in right now, right? Obviously, the two car is fast when somebody good drives it. But I think he's a very sneaky play. I don't know that a lot of people are going to pick him for this with no experience. They're going to look at his price and go, yeah, I don't think so. But they're not really going to see his full potential. So give me Jesse Love, $9,400. My brother checking in saying I call Riley Herbst terrible because it's his namesake. He's a Vegas boy and he's come up in the terrible Herbst.
I think he was getting confused, but yes, Terrible Herbst is a convenience store down there. And
yes.
I'm almost certain that that is the family that, that Riley is from. I believe his dad is the owner of the Terrible Herbst convenience store. So you are correct. But yeah, Love, I'm one of those people, Rod, that you referenced that's going to look at him and say, oof, $9,400. I don't know if I can pay that. So I think that that proves your point of some people are going to avoid him because it would be very hard for me to put Jesse Love in my lineup at that price, I think.
That's okay. Hey, look, I've got three hold your noses this time around. You guys are all going to be like,
Rod's
dude,
going full hold your nose.
I'm going full hold your nose because I feel like to me, this is a week where you can in DFS, you got it. You could plug in one of those, right? One of the big dogs, but you can also take some risks with these other guys because I feel like the good finishes are going to be there for a couple of these guys. Maybe not fantastic finishes in the case of my low, low price guy, but you know, I've weighed the options and I believe that these are three of the better drivers that you can put, especially in a GPP, if you just want to take a shot.
Yeah, and again, like, if this race goes how I think it's going to go, Rod, and I think it's going to be Chandler Smith is going to lead 175 of these 250 laps, then you're going to need to save some money elsewhere, get some good finishes, and focus more on that for the rest of your lineup. So I think that's a good way to look at it. Rod, next up for me, also I forgot to mention, Riley Herbst last year was running top. I said he finished top five. He was running top five with 10 laps to go before my next pick, Brandon Jones, decided to take him out. But next up for me, mid-tier guy, I'm going to go a little bit on the higher end of the mid-tier here, balancing it out a little bit. I'm going to take Brandon Jones, 8,300. Rod, as I just referenced, he was running sixth place here with about 10 laps to go when he decided to destroy and then murder Riley Herbst in this race and kill our bets, which wasn't super happy about, but
that's okay. I think Brandon Jones is a guy that has some potential here. He's actually started the season not too bad. Like last year, Rod, was fucking rough for Brandon Jones. He transitioned over from JGR to JRM. Nothing went his way. He started to sort of figure it out towards the end of the season, and you saw some bright spots. You know, he comes in here, he's got, five races in and nothing worse than a 16th place finish. And that's two super speedways and a road course in there. So Phoenix, he was 7th place, which again, you're looking at comparable tracks. Phoenix is a very good comparison, especially in this series where a lot of names change, a lot of faces change, and he ran that well. You had guys in that race. 7th place for Brandon Jones was solid. 9th place in Las Vegas, not a bad result either. You come back on this track, and he's actually been fairly good here, Rod. 21st last season, but again, he was 3rd in Stage 1, 2nd in Stage 2. He led 24 laps, actually, on the day, and then he was running in 6th place before him and Herbst got into it late. Damaged his car, sent him backwards. 13th and 22, had a 20th, but then 8th, 14th, 11th. There's a 33rd sprinkled in there, but another 8th place finish. Brandon Jones has had some really solid finishes here. While I think that JRM may be down a little bit, Rod, I know you don't like to hear that, but overall we've not seen, but again, we don't have too many races. That's the thing. I'm trying not to overreact too much because we've only got like 2 true oval races we've had so far to look at. But Brandon Jones, a guy that I've always been on, a guy that I've always liked. 8,300, I think, is a good price for him when he's got solid upside. I think that he can be a top 5 driver. I think he'll be in the top 10 and has the potential to lead some laps like he did here last year.
Yeah, it's funny, though, because with JRM, anytime you start to dump on them, it hurts a little in the heart.
Well, then that's when they show up and kill everyone.
This is actually true.
Maybe Brandon Jones wins this weekend.
Yeah, I was going to say that is probably more accurate in that Justin Allgaier. Like I said, I already think Justin Allgaier is one of those guys where he's going to just jump up and bite you this week, and you're going to go, oh, man, I can't believe it. And I'm going to be like, I can't. So that's cool. Go back. I want you guys, there's 378 episodes before this. Please go back, listen to every single one of them, because I want you to count how many times I've said the name of the next guy on my list, and that's Anthony Alfredo.
That's a lot of hours.
I'm trying to think.
We've spent a lot of time together, Rob.
Oh, we have, my friend. We have. Over the course, yeah, I mean, I've seen you almost 200 times, in a year. That's more than I see a lot of the folks in the outside of this place.
More than I see my family. I live with them.
This is true. I've clocked the hours, and I think my wife remembers what I look like. But she knows what I sound like because she could hear me through the door. But yeah, Anthony Alfredo, $6,800. I'm going on the low end of the mid tier.
Rod likes some fast pasta this weekend.
I like some fast pasta this weekend. Here's the thing about Anthony Alfredo, okay? And you go, Rod, you've never said this guy's name, and you've never even acknowledged that he exists. But guess what? He exists, and if you look at his points this season, his fantasy points, 49, 44, 48, 46. The only race in which he did not score well was the Daytona 500, in which he started 10th, though, right? But it's Daytona, and he wrecked or got caught up in something and finished 24th, got you 5 points that day. But since then, he has gone on to average the 6th most fantasy points per race in the entire series, 38.5. Anthony Alfredo, in the 5 car. Nobody even thinks about Anthony Alfredo, and yet he's turning in finishes of 12th last week, 10th the week before that, 16th, 7th. Here's the thing, and it's not as if he's starting there either. No. He started 30th last week, 20th the week before, 37th, turned that into a 16th place finish, 15th, turned that into 7th. So I don't know why we're sleeping on Alfredo. The books really hardly ever give us anything on Alfredo, which is probably why we don't talk about him nearly as much as we probably should. But on this track in particular, in the Xfinity Series, he had a rough go of it last year. Started 13th, which means he had some pretty decent speed. Only got 144 laps around this track before ending up crashing out of it. But the year before that, in 2022, started 19th, finished 12th. A very solid DFS day for a guy at $6,800. 12th place finishing position pays for his salary alone, let alone the 6 places that he gained in the meantime. So Anthony Alfredo, somebody who nobody's probably going to play. I think his ownership percentages, roster percentage is going to be probably in the low double digits. We're talking maybe 10%, and that's only because you guys listen to this show. So I think a really good pivot play. Plus, Cody, His sponsor is Dude Wipes. How can you not like that?
How can you not like that? I think it's important to point out, too, you know, last season he was racing for BJ McLeod, and he had some really impressive runs in the BJ McLeod car, but it's a BJ McLeod car, Rod. He's now in the Auer car again, which he's been in the past. That's not a bad team by any means. They've had some really good runs, and they've got some solid equipment. And Alfredo's a talented former Cup Series driver. I mean, he was in the 38 car that Todd Gilliland's in now. He ran a season full-time in that car. So he's a talented driver for sure.
Yeah, again, one you probably won't hear again. But if he keeps performing like this, I mean, 40 points out of a guy that's $6,800, that's a steal. Yeah,
he even had a bowl of pasta in an RCR car for a few there, Rod.
Yeah.
Like that, okay. So a cup of coffee. Bowl of pasta.
I like it. In fact, I just had pasta tonight. That was spaghetti and...
Me too, actually. I had like a spaghetti lasagna bake thing.
Wow, beautiful. No, I had spaghetti and just...
It was pasta night.
It was pasta night. I had some beautiful breadsticks. Now I'm getting hungry again. All right, fine.
I'm hungry. Me too.
Let's break for a second and then come back and get our mind off of food. Instead, let me tell you about Hall of Fame Bets. Win bigger by betting smarter this NBA season with Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NBA and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame Bets' revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark. Join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off of your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets.
It didn't work, Rod. My mind's still on food, so let's go have some Blaine Perkins for dinner. How about that?
Okay, we can.
I was looking through the list to see if there's any other food-related drivers, and that was as close as I could get, Perkins, with Blaine Perkins.
So didn't I pick Perkins in the... I did.
Did you, actually? You might have.
I don't know. Maybe I did. I don't know. Not in this one.
Rod has a food section this week. It's like people pick... You know, they like to pick the mascots for the brackets or whatever, like which team has a cooler mascot. Rod just picks all the food drivers.
Or like Steven's daughter picks the paint schemes and has killed it on that one all day.
Oh, next time we get to – great ideas. Love this. Next time we get to a Super Speedway, Rod, we are building a food-sponsored DFS lineup. So like McDonald's car, if you get the Wendy's car, like we're putting food sponsors only in a lineup and probably going to win money off of it.
Indeed. Nick saying, call it a religious thing. I don't buy Alfredo on Sundays.
Good thing this race is on Saturday, so you can buy Alfredo. all right, Rod, next up for me. Again, pushing the limits a little bit, right? We're in the low-tier section here. I'm going to go up to $7,000. This guy has got to be mentioned this weekend, though, and the bottom of the board is really gross. So if you can make him your lowest play, I would like to try and do that if I can save money elsewhere. Ryan Sieg, Rod. First of all, the season he's put together so far has been incredible. He just continues to be. I mean, he's been my secret weapon on for speedways for a long time, and people just they're starting to figure it out now. Unfortunately,
it's because of you.
People listen to this podcast, which is at times is unfortunate because it crushes the value on some of the plays I like. But that's okay. Ryan Sieg has been on fire. I mean, 24.3 points is the lowest that he's scored in any race so far this season. Rod, he is consistent. Gets you finishes. Ryan Sieg does not DNF very often. He gets you to the end of races, which is super important. And he's got a lot of good upside. He finished seventh at Las Vegas, 12th at Phoenix earlier this season. He's had some really good runs. We know they've got that upgraded partnership with Stuart Haas, where they're sort of helping prepare some of their cars at types. But Rod, you go back and you look at what Ryan Sieg has done at Richmond here in the past, seventh place last season. For $7,000, if you can get a seventh place finish, yes, please. Ninth place in 2022, 13th in 2021, 15th in 2020. Like, are you seeing the progression here? He's getting better and better, as I'm reading it backwards, of course, but 15th, 13th, 9th, 7th, he's jumping up a couple spots every time. But then you go back to 2020, the spring race, or not spring race, but they ran back-to-backs because of COVID that year, 12th place, a 5th in 2019, like, really strong, solid finishes from Ryan Sieg in this car. Again, we talked about, you mentioned actually yesterday on the betting episode, not very many guys have starts, and you brought up Allgaier, 21, 24 starts, whatever. Ryan Sieg is the next guy on that list at 17 starts here. Don't forget, a guy like this has been around just like an Allgaier has for a long time. This is his series. He's settled in. Yes, it's a lower budget, family-owned team, but they continue to step their program up, and Ryan Sieg is actually a very strong, solid racer. It's $7,000, Rod. I think, I mean, if you look at all the plays we've given out so far, you actually have 9,300 left. So even if you took out like a Riley Herbst and a cheap play like you have, you could still get a Chandler Smith in there. You don't have to go dumpster diving, maybe for one player you do this week, but you don't have to do it for a bunch. You can get cheap guys that can pay out big time, like Ryan Sieg at $7,000. So I feel like he needed to be highlighted in this lower section.
So, yeah, and again, for Ryan Sieg, it's one of those guys where he's probably going to break through and win eventually soon. And then when you have him on your DFS, that's going to be a fun day for you.
Yep. I'm going to continue to bet him every super speedway. He's going to get one eventually, Rod. Oh, I can't tell you how many times within the last five laps he's been so close to cashing that for me. It's going to happen one of these times.
One of these times. All right, so for my low-price driver, I mean, you are going to go dumpster diving, but this is a dumpster in a very nice area. Well, maybe not even a nice area, but, like, you know, one of those neighborhoods that it's not necessarily, you know, the ritziest, but it's a step enough down.
I don't know if you guys know, Rod just got a new job in his day life. It's actually selling dumpsters. He goes around and, like, I know this dumpster you have over here, it's full of trash, doesn't look that great. Like, we have these nice, shiny, fancy dumpsters, and when you throw your trash in them, they might look like that eventually, but look at how fancy and shiny it is right now.
And it ups the value of your garbage. So I'm just saying right now, it is definitely something that is worth looking into. So if you want a new dumpster, hit me up. Find me on X at RJ Villa Gomez. Link in the bio to all the places I can buy or sell you dumpsters. All right. Again, because I think in keeping of the theme of names I don't bring up very much, how about Leland Honeyman? Right? Write that down if you guys want. Leland Honeyman.
Who, Rob?
Young's Motorsports
Honeyman?
Owned.
Is that Honeyman?
Honey,
that qualifies as a food name, right?
Honeyman. Oh, there you go. That's another one. Honey's a food.
Food product.
Bees make it. Number 42 on your roster, number one on your DFS card this week. Here's the thing. 11th. That is where he ranks in terms of fantasy points per race this season. 11th. 30.1 that he averages. He got 37 the last race out, 45 the race before that, 26 the race before that, 35 the race before that. The only race in which he did not clear 25 points was Daytona, and that's when he got you 7 points to open up the season. But since then, has just improved his starting position, which is exactly what you want from a guy starting 34th, 24th, 19th, 35th. Right? All you need is those place differential points from a guy like that to turn a $4,000 investment. He is $4,800 this week, by the way. I'm sorry I buried the lead, but $4,800 this week. And if he does exactly what he did for you in the call811.com every dig, every time 200, get you 45 points, I mean, that is a fantastic return on your investment. And I'm telling you right now, it doesn't take much. When you look at what he's done so far this year, or not even this year, but in his career. At Richmond, started 28th, finished 25th in that big, that Tommy Joe Martin's Chevy in 2023 in the 45 car, right? Not the 42 car, but he still did not lose you position. He got you 3 positions in that race. Phoenix, he lost you some spots in Phoenix in 2023 in the spring race. He started 23rd, finished 27th, but that's not too bad. That's still okay for probably what his price tag was back then. But this year in Phoenix, started 24th, finished 11th. That's a huge jump. Martinsville, another shorter track, right? Started 30th, finished 25th. The dude does not go backwards very often, is all I'm saying. And for a guy that's 4,800, if he doesn't lose you any points, if he gets you even 35 points, that's a fantastic day. That's a great day for him. So give me Leland Honeyman at $4,800 for my low-price driver. Andrew Wu says, yep, Young's Motorsports finished 11th in the closest race to Richmond at Phoenix. Granted, there was chaos, and yet he did.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, 11th place at Phoenix. Like, even if he did, you know, even if he probably finished 24th place, like, you know, if there's not some chaos, he's still going to have a nice day for you. That was a really, really strong day. I was a little concerned when Young Motorsports expanded from the truck series, and it's like their trucks are kind of not always making races even, and they're getting Xfinity, but these Xfinity cars actually been pretty decent. So, again, if you need to go into the dumpster, buy Rod's shiny dumpster over here at Leland Honeyman. The upside of that, and you hope he doesn't start, although he doesn't even have to start that. But, I mean, he started 24th at Phoenix, and he still scored you all those points. Like, and even the week before at Las Vegas, he starts 19th and finishes 18th. Like, you don't need a bunch of place differential. It was 26 points. Like, he is a really solid play. I'm actually kind of glad you highlighted that because I had looked right over him, Rod. So I appreciate you highlighting that and giving us somebody good to play this week.
Tell you what, hopefully, cross your fingers that he's somebody good to play this week, because if not, then that shiny dumpster turns into one where you pretty much don't want to go near it.
One full of trash, but that's okay.
Yeah.
We made up for yesterday, Rod. If you were to play this lineup, it leaves you $4,500 on the table. I will say you could take out Herbst, put in Chandler Smith, and you still have $2,900. So plenty of room to play with, which kind of was the idea with highlighting some guys to start with, to build your roster around and give you some room to not have to dumpster dive too much once you get past Leland Honeyman there.
I was going to say, that almost gives you a full Leland Honeyman left to dive. So,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and Andrew's saying they're getting support from RCR too, which is paying off, obviously.
It looks like it. All right, so get out your pen and paper. We're going to go over the DFS plays for your slate. Cody started you off with Riley Herbst as his high-priced driver at $9,200. I gave you Jesse Love at $9,400. Cody started you in mid-tier with Brandon Jones at $8,300. I gave you Anthony Alfredo at $6,800, and you can feel free to go ahead and skip past that. Cody gave you Ryan Sieg at $7,000 for his low-priced driver, and I said Leland Honeyman at $4,800 was a decent play for you this week. To underdog we go, Cody. We are going to give you three of our favorite drivers each to make your underdog picks. Again, the whole concept of this is to pick better than or worse than the finishing positions that underdog is projecting for these guys. You do that, pick a couple of them, watch the multiplier go up, feel a little more ballsy, you can pick a couple more, watch it go up, up to five picks that you can have. So you can't necessarily pick all of these in one play, but you certainly can grab five or grab a couple and grab the ones you like. And like we said, too, cross sports if you want.
Yep. You can mix, three of your favorite ones of these, three of your favorite, or two, I guess you can go to five, right? So three of your favorite this, two of the cup ones, two of these, three of the cup ones. You can mix in baseballs going on, college basketball, whatever else you want to mix in, Rod. Are you ready for my first play?
I'm ready for your first play.
All right. I've got a very long-winded explanation on this one, so. Sit back and hold tight.
Hold on, I gotta get my tabs. I gotta get my tabs open for mine. So you might as well just go ahead. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, you better hurry up.
No, go ahead.
Austin Hill is set at 8.5. Rod, you take the better than. And I mean, do I need to explain Austin Hill anymore at this point?
There may be somebody that hasn't heard your explanation of Austin Hill.
If you've never heard my explanation, go listen to the previous 300 and however many episodes of the show there is, Rod, and see how many fucking times Austin Hill's made us money finishing in the top five at these races. Like, he's going to be up there. He don't even have to finish top five. He has to finish eighth or better. For Austin Hill, are you kidding me? Like, thank you, Underdog, for just giving us a free square. I mean, that's essentially what this is. It's Austin Hill better than 8.5. So that I like to fire off on a lot of underdog things over the weekends, Rod. This one will be in every single one that I fire off. That's how confident I am in this. It's Austin Hill. That's all. That you don't need to know anything else. Just go play it.
Yeah, again, it's Austin Hill, it's top five. That's essentially is what we've penciled in every single week. Well, actually we've pretty much tattooed it on us by now.
It's in pen. We got no more pencils with Austin Hill.
You want to see the Austin Hill top five tattoo? It's there. It's in blood. So really, again, we don't need to harp on it too much more, because that's really one of the staple plays that we have each and every week. So I'm with you on that one. Although JDK is saying that we forgot to mention SVG at $7,500.
I don't know if you saw, Rod, there was an announcement. Somebody's racing the truck race next week that's from from that series. So another supercar guy coming over. I don't have his name in front of me, but they're infiltrating all levels of NASCAR now.
All in on Aussie drivers, are we not?
Yes. But yeah, back to the Hill thing. Again, it doesn't matter what type of track it is. Super speedways he's good at. Road courses he's good at, as he proved last week, and can be there at the end. Short tracks he's good at. He proved he can be there at the end. Intermediates he's proved he can be there at the end. Street courses he's proved he can be there at the end. Not Brody Kostecki. I said a new supercar driver, JDK. Jeez, keep up with the pro. I'll find his name while Rod Root talks about his guy.
All right, my guy is going to take a little bit more finessing than yours, and that is Justin Allgaier. His number is set at 3.5. His projection is set at 3.5. I'm taking the better then. I know. You can essentially just grab a teddy bear and have me show you on the teddy bear where Justin Allgaier's hurt me in the past, and I'll point to his heart. But I just can't quit this guy. I mean, Justin Allgaier on this track has the most, just the most experience on this track out of every driver. Now, granted, I know that he's older than all of those guys. He's been in the series longer than most of these guys, but there's a ton of experience out there for Justin Allgaier on this particular track. And his name is essentially at the top of the list of most of the categories here, up to and including wins from active drivers in this series. Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s got 4 wins as an Xfinity driver on this series. Justin Allgaier has 2. The next best one after that is Chase Elliott. Doesn't even drive anymore in this. Cole Custer, Noah Gragson doesn't drive anymore in there. Ty Gibbs doesn't drive in there anymore. They're the ones with wins on this track. He has 2 wins, which is the most out of everybody on this track. Now, not asking him to win. I'm just asking him to at least finish inside of the top 3, which is something that he's done a few times in his career, right? He won back-to-back races in 2020. He finished 3rd in 2019 as well. He finished 4th in 2021 and in 2019, just outside of the top 3. So, I mean, you know, it's not as if he did it there, but 2nd in 2017, 3rd in 2011. If you look at his finishes this season, you definitely don't like what you see, and you're definitely not not wanting to take this one as well. And I get it. I do. I understand. I feel your pain. I've been burnt by him one too many times too. But my love for JRM runs deep. My love for Justin Allgaier runs deep. That tire should not have popped. He should have won that race. And I'm banking on the fact that he can not pop a tire this week and finish in the top 3.
Looks like we found the one to leave off the card for the week. So Rod made that nice and easy for you. Justin Allgaier should be really fast this week, Rod. I mean, we saw it at Phoenix, right? Bad luck, which seems to follow him around a lot. At the end of the races, he blows the tire, hits the wall, and obviously doesn't win the race like he probably should have. If nothing goes wrong, he should be a top 3 car. He's one of those guys, a lot of things go wrong a lot, but it is what it is. Andrew checking in. Cam Waters is the guy that I was talking about. And he said Waters will make his debut in the 66 Thor Sport truck. I think it's absurd that the guy wants to make his debut at Martinsville in the truck series. That's, chaos on chaos, as Andrew says. So, for sure. He is a monster Ford driver, Rod. So, obviously, you've got SVG, Red Bull, Chevy guy. So, monster one to get in on the action, too. He is a 29-year-old supercars driver. So there you go. At least he's going to be in a solid truck. So there is that. Again, close quarters with Martinsville beating and banging. Maybe we'll talk about him next week. Maybe we won't. But a guy that we've already talked about, Rod. And we're going to talk about him again. Riley Herbst, better than 7.5. Look, I made all the points really to make on him earlier. But he's been pretty good here. He's good in general. And he's been solid on these types of tracks. Go back to last season yet again, running in 5th place at the end of this race, gets dumped by Brandon Jones, so obviously he doesn't get the finish, but Phoenix, good. Martinsville, good. 4th place finishes there last season at both of those. He was 7th at Phoenix last year. Where did he finish at Phoenix? I just had that pulled up. I don't remember how his race went at Phoenix. I feel like, oh, he got wrecked early, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He got
24th, but yeah. He was involved. He was involved in a wreck at that one at one point, and he had actually qualified well and was running. Yeah, he was top five in both stages, exactly to my point. And then another guy that sometimes chaos follows him around a little bit, and he gets unlucky. But I think Riley Herbst is going to have a strong weekend. I expect him to be good. And again, like, to the point, and this is good for Allgaier, this is good for Hill, this is good for Herbst also, the top of the board is weaker than it's been any other week so far this season. Dash for cash race. We have no cup guys in this race. John Hrnček's not in here. Kyle Busch isn't in here. We don't have any of those guys in this race. So look at the top of the board. You got Chandler Smith. You got Allgaier. You got Custer. Kind of open season after that. Those should be kind of the three clear cut. They're the favorites, and they should be the best guys in this race. But I think guys like Herbst can battle for the next spot. I think guys like Hill can battle for those next couple of spots, and should be Herbst should be better than 7.5. So Riley Herbst better than 7.5.
Not only will he help your DFS lineup, but he will definitely help your underdog lineup as well with a good finish. Like we said, I mean, it's Hill and Herbst, both top five. So it only makes sense with the number projection being so low in this case to take them both, which to me, Cody, it kind of makes me scratch my head as to why Hill is one spot lower than Herbst on this one, which is, you know,
hey, again. Don't argue with the process, Rod, if they keep giving it to us. Andrew checking in too, saying former Cup driver Eric. Yeah, we talked about that yesterday too on the Xfinity betting show. I don't know. Rod's a little higher on him. I was very high on him at Phoenix, and he was extremely disappointing and did not look great at all. So we'll see how he does. He should be one of those kind of next level, I think. And I mean, he's getting respect from the books, but I don't know. I'm not super scared of him.
Yeah, well, me, I was throwing darts all over the Xfinity board yesterday.
And it does look like JDK saying Canadian underdog doesn't have JA. They just don't like you in Canada. But I think, just kidding. It does look like the Allgaier one has been pulled down temporarily. So Rod's moving lines live here.
Look at that.
They probably realize that Piano's like to fall out of the sky. Maybe he'll reopen at like 5.5 or something for you, Rod.
I'd hammer that. I mean, if I'm taking it at 3.5, I'll take it at
5.5. I mean, you can't put him any lower than 3.5. Like, you're not going to reopen that at 3 or something, right?
No, I
wouldn't think so. So,
yeah.
Still a solid play in there. They'll put him back up. They kind of put drivers up and pull drivers down at times as they're adjusting things. So,
you know,
I'm sure he'll be back up shortly.
These Australian drivers can drive, but can they kick it inside 50? That's what I want to know. If you know, you know. I'm telling you right now. All right, my next underdog play will take the I talked about the driver, the current driver of the two car in the DFS portion. Now I'm going to talk about the old driver of the two car in this one, Sheldon Creed. His projection is set at 6.5, his finishing position. I'm taking the worst then on this instance. And so every argument that I made for Justin Allgaier, a guy who does not have a top three finish at all this season, I'm going to make the complete opposite argument for Sheldon Creed, who does actually have three top five finishes this season. But two of those have been on super speedways. One of them was at Phoenix, where I don't think he earned that finish. I think he just lucked into that finish. So I'm going to throw that one out. So I'm going to take the two that support my theory. He had a 26th place finish in Las Vegas and a 32nd place finish at COTA last week. But look, for Sheldon Creed, maybe it's just because we expected a ton of great stuff from him this season and we have yet to necessarily see it. I'm definitely on a little lower on him, especially in this race in particular. Now, granted, on this track, it hasn't been all bad for Sheldon Creed. Richmond, he's got two career starts. Last year, he actually did finish sixth after starting sixth. But his first start here, he started 13th, finished 22nd. So, and you're going to notice this pattern as well in Martinsville. Ready? His first start, finished 30th in 2022. His second start in the fall, a second place finish. His third start, the spring of 2023, 27th place finish. His second start of that year, a second place finish. So this dude is literally checkers or wreckers in this instance where it's a good race, a bad race, a good race, a bad race. Well, if you're keeping score, he's due for a bad race on Richmond Raceway. So a 22nd place finish, like I said, his first one is sixth place than the time before. I mean, I know this is great handicapping. This is fantastic prognostication. But like I said, I don't think that a fifth place finish is in the cards for Sheldon Creed this week. Therefore, I don't think that this finishing position is correct. So give me Sheldon Creed, worse than 6.5 place finish.
Yeah, this seems like one of those ones where it's like they set him at 6.5, even though they probably want to set him lower, but they're scared maybe he could do something because he's supposed to be in a fast car, but he hasn't done any. And it's like, this is one of those, if he beats you, he beats you, but you can't trust Sheldon Creed right now. Nobody was bigger on Sheldon Creed than I was coming into the season. Pumped for him, so excited for this fast car. He's going to show up. He's going to look good. We're still waiting, Rod. So I don't know when that's going to happen. He had some good finishes at the super speedways, but again, that super speedway racing, it's different. So, Cody, yeah, I think
he's got 3 top 5 finishes, Cody. How is that not good? But
super speedways. What was the other one? The road course?
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, it wasn't even the road course, but
Not the road course, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Not in yet on super on Creed. So, gonna fade him. JDK also brought up Sam Mayer better than 10.5. Neither of us have him, but I waffled back and forth with that one because I like it. And I made a case for Sam Mayer to win the race on the betting show yesterday. His inconsistencies to start this season have scared me a little bit. But if he doesn't have an issue, if that bad luck doesn't catch him, which we've had to say about a few guys, right, so far with Herbst and Allgaier as well, he's better than 10.5 by a lot. So I think that is a really good number if you want to take the better than. You have to hope nothing happens. But that's such a hard part in handicapping because it's like he's clearly better than a 10.5 car, but you've also got the momentum of bad luck kind of following him around here lately. And we talk about positive momentum a lot and how that helps and works, but negative momentum can work as well. So a little bit scared in that aspect of things, but Sam Mayer is better than 10.5. So I think that he's going to correct things this week. I talked about him in a couple good spots on the betting episode yesterday, so go back and catch those bets as well. But I would take him better than 10.5.
Indeed. I want Tracy Chapman to sing Fast Car to Sheldon Creed. Like, you got a fast car. What the hell happening? Why you losing? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. It's late night. Cody, save me.
All right, Rod, I will not sing because we all know that I can't. I'm going to go with Corey Heim, better than 15.5. And we're going to talk about this on the Cup Series show tomorrow. Hanging some long numbers, like 15.5, it's probably set correctly. But I don't know. I like Corey Heim this week again, point of not having Cup Series guys in this. Now, he is up in a Toyota, but it's not one of the JGR Toyotas. He is in the Sam Hunt Toyotas, which can be up and down. I get that. But he's been pretty solid in his 2 starts at Richmond in the Truck Series, a 5th place, a 6th place finish, not bad. Maybe you would kind of expect a little better from him, but solid runs, good finishes for him there. You go back and you look at what he's done in the Xfinity Series. He did race at Phoenix. He was 22nd in that race. Roddy started 3rd place, so he had a fast car, looked good early. Again, I believe he got caught up in some trouble. Las Vegas, though, he was in 13th place, so again, a little better than this. You go back to last season. Tale of 2 different things, right? At Pocono and Dover, rough races, got involved in incidents, had mechanical problems, whatever. Bad finishes at the back of the pack. But in the races where he finished, 15th place at Darlington, not an easy track to drive by any means. 10th place finish at Darlington as well, and the other start at Darlington there. So those were his couple of starts in the Xfinity Series last season. Look, Corey Heim, if nothing else, Rod, is a consistent driver, a good driver. We see that in the Truck Series. Just finishes races. I mean, I think it was all but 2 or 3 races last season, including super speedways, including road courses, everything, where he was in the top 8 in every single race. And Corey Heim is a good driver in that way. And I think, again, 15.5, like if you kind of look down the board at some of the people you would have to beat to be in the top 15, it weakens out pretty quick, right? So you look at the odds here that I just had pulled up, and of course my tab closed. But you got Chandler Smith, Cole Custer, Justin Allgaier, Almirola, Creed. Then you kind of start to get, Love, Herbst, Allmendinger, Mayer, Hill. But then that's where you kind of get into, like, he just has to beat some of these. He has to beat Sammy Smith and Bubba Pollard and Parker Kligerman and Matt DiBenedetto. Like, it gets pretty weak pretty quick, Rod. So I think 15.5, Corey Heim can definitely do better than. We know how talented he is. Again, he's not in the JGR Toyota. He is in the Sam Hunt Toyota. But expecting a solid day from Corey Heim. So better than 15.5 for Corey Heim.
Well, then let's throw another driver into that top 15 as well. I'm going to go ahead and take Parker Kligerman, a guy I don't talk about very often either. We've talked about him a few times in the course of our other episodes, whether it's DFS or throw him on the betting card for a crazy top 10 finish or whatever. But Parker Kligerman is also projected at 15.5 for his finishing position. So give me the better then. And this is a sneaky one, in my opinion, because it's not one that you feel good about. But it's actually hit the last three times he's taken the track. In Las Vegas, 11th place finish. In Phoenix, 8th place finish. At COTA, 5th place finish. Now, you kind of expect it at COTA because he is a decent enough driver. And maybe, Cody, maybe it's just the fact that he's in the 48 car, which is where my heart is at all the time to cheer for a 48 car. But he's also done well in this 48 car at Richmond. Last year, he turned a 20th place start into an 8th place finish. Now, he's also got one other, or actually two other top 15 finishes in the 26 car. In 2010, he actually finished 15th. And in the 77 car in 2013, he finished 11th. He started 12th in 2013 in that 77 car, had an electrical issue, and he had to bow out after 210 laps and finished 36th on that one. But I mean, I know that's a long time, a long way away, but that's a long way in saying that he's definitely a guy that can find his way into the top 15 for sure. On short tracks, he's got 14 career starts, 6 top 10s. His average finish is 16.3, but again, most of those were in a car that is not the 48 car that he's in right now, which he's always around the front. I mean, he's always somewhere in the mix as far as the top 15 is concerned. You hear his name on the broadcast. Oh, well, you look at Parker Kligerman making that move. Now, sometimes it always ends, oh, man, look at Parker Kligerman. But I'm hoping that this is one of those instances where you're going to go and look at that 48 car running right there with the, you know, the ones that you made, you know, like the Sam Mayers of the world, maybe even the Sheldon Creeds of the world in that 10th place spot in and around there. So, yeah, give me Parker Kligerman better than 16 or 15.5, rather, for his finishing position.
Yeah, Kligerman's 7th place in the points standing so far this season, Rod. He's a solid driver. I'm kind of shocked to see his number at all the way that big. Man, yeah, I love this one.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those ones that, again, you identify where you think that number is wrong and you jump on it because that's exactly what we did.
It feels more like it should be like 12.5 or so. I mean, that seems more like the range where I would probably set it at. So I think at this big of a number at 15, it was 15.5, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're getting a pretty good price on Kligerman.
Yeah, those extra three spots, definitely something to look at. So, all right, well then let's go over these underdog plays. So get back out your pen and paper if you put them away. If not, then just grab that pen. Cody started you out with Austin Hill, better than 8.5 finishing position. I said Justin Allgaier would finish better than 3.5. Cody said leave that off the card, but I don't think he should. Cody gave you Riley Herbst at better than 7.5. I said Sheldon Creed would finish worse than 6.5. Cody said that Corey Heim would finish better than 15.5. And I said Parker Kligerman would also finish better than 15.5. Cody, that does it, my friend.
That does it. I love it. Yeah, man, this was fun. Again, getting to highlight the Xfinity Series, talk to DFS. Talk about the underdog picks. A lot of fun. Xfinity Series racing. So much fun, Rod. Love it. I'm excited for Saturday. Excited for a good weekend here.
I'm glad that we've gotten both of the Xfinity episodes out in a reasonable time to where they got plenty of time to get it set for Saturday. We had all of the information we needed, all of the odds, all of the prices, all of the finishing positions. Please continue to do this for it. It makes our job a hell of a lot easier.
Yes, it sure does, Rod. It sure does.
All right. Well, then let's get everybody tucked into bed. It is after midnight in some cases, and your parents are wondering what you're doing laughing at your phone in the middle of the night. So I don't want to get you guys in trouble. So, Cody, let's send everybody out into the world to go finish all of what they started here today.
Yes. Good night, everyone. Good morning if you're listening to this in the morning. Good afternoon, good evening. There we go. Everything's covered. All right, Rod, follow me over on the X at Husker_Z. Find all my stuff over there. Make sure you're following the show as well at NASCAR Gambling over on the YouTube, Rod. Again, we're going live. Answer some questions tonight. We'll continue to do that Make sure you click that bell over there. Subscribe. Helps us out. Helps you out. Let's go make some money this weekend.
Let's go make some money this weekend, indeed. Follow me on Twitter, at RJ Villa Gomez. Link in the bio, everything I got going on, whether it's here, Sportsbook Review, I've got the WrestleMania odds, I've got the Toyota Owners 400 article coming out tomorrow. And then make sure you're checking out the AFL podcast. I had two fantastic guests on today, Nick Haig of the Albany Firebirds, and then Coach Shiver of the New Orleans Voodoo. I cannot wait. The Louisiana Voodoo, can't wait for all of that to happen as well. And then, of course, check out the Back Road. Seth and a special guest held it down for you today, actually, at Thursday. But go back and watch it on YouTube as well. We'll be back tomorrow. We've got Cup Series DFS and Underdog to break down for you. Oh, man, it's a busy week, but we'll kick it off and end it in style. 2 weeks in a row. I tune in at the end. Sorry, Jeff. We'll get there.
And make sure you get over to the YouTube. Click that subscribe. Click the bell. It'll notify you. But you can go back and listen from the start now.
Indeed. All right, everyone. Good night, good morning, good afternoon, good day.
Good day.
Let's go racing and let it ride.